Welcome everyone to January's edition of the NPL show. Yes, you join us back here at the Heat and Hops in South Manchester stroke North Stockport for another little review and discussion and debate about what's been going on in the Northern Premier League, Premier Division, and round the table for a good old-fashioned discussion. We're joined by the great and good of non-league journalism. Mr. Andrew Simpson is here.
Hello.
Berkey's here for 26-0.
Hi, Ben.
James Hayes is here, otherwise known as that guy on the tannoy, T-Got.
That's been a while.
There we go. Social media officer for the league. This promotion race up at the top is a little bit silly at the moment because no one is really stringing the results together to really force the issue.
The league, no one wants to win at the moment. It's a little bit peculiar, isn't it? I mean, look at South Shields. They're not won in three in the league, five in all competitions, unless you're counting a penalty shootout win.
Is that a crisis? We've been here before, haven't we?
No, it's not. It's not a crisis, but they're not doing enough, are they?
No.
They're still scoring goals. I mean, they're not banging them in left, right, and centre or anything. But very un-South Shields like. They're conceding a fair amount of goals. They've only had one clean sheet in seven games, and for a team who are meant to be, you know, the absolute top team in this division, for them to be, you know, leaking quite as badly as they are at the back, it's a little bit. They'll be concerned.
And yet their high-profile recent signings are strikers.
Yeah, but maybe they're taking the approach of, right, OK, you're going to score one. And to be fair, teams aren't really scoring more than one, apart from, what's that team from mid-Cheshire? Witten Albion, was it?
Yeah.
There is some merit in that. OK, you score one, we'll score two or three. And signing Darius Olsay is it could be a masterstroke, this, because he's been Stirling Bridge's best player of the season by an absolute mile.
He's been one of the Premier Division's
far.
Player of the season, wouldn't you say?
He's up there.
Yeah,
certainly
up there
in contention.
You're thinking of one of the strikers at the moment who plays for FC United. That's
exactly. Tundy's the obvious one, isn't it? But then again, you could easily put an argument in for saying a couple of old players from FC United, they'd be in the running as well. Joe Malkin at Nantwich. These a fair bunch of players.
Does the signing of Osei, and there's no argument around this table that he's a talented player, but I was thinking about this when the news broke yesterday that obviously, you know, they were just off the back of signing Sefton Gonzalez, adding to an attack that already has Jason Gilchrist. Is this South Shields just making absolutely sure that they win the title, or are they looking further further into the future? Osei probably got the ability to play well at the level above.
He's been in the football.
Well, exactly.
The different types of players as well. Gilchrist isn't Sefton Gonzalez, is he?
No, that's
be
fair.
My point as well,
or does it point to the fact that there is a seed of doubt and they don't think it is done? I mean, month after month after month, we've sat here and gone, yeah, they might have had a blip here and there, but they're still going to win the league easily. And a lot of managers think that when you ask them as well. But it was just really curious the time of this, because Rob Gorski, the Stirling Bridge chairman, made the point last night that the player would have been out of the contract at the end of the season, so he could have gone to South Shields for nothing, but they paid a fee for him. Mm-hmm. And so they feel that he needs to be in their team, or, you know, in their squad now. And I was just wondered why you think, what's the urgency? If they could have got him for nothing in the summer, that indicates to me maybe they think we've got to make sure here. They don't think it's done by a long way.
Because they think he could be the missing piece of the jigsaw. Yeah. They've lost a little bit of guile in the centre of the park. So Adam Thurston, he's gone back down to New Zealand, so they've lost something there. But you are replacing a midfielder from the northwest with a striker from the northwest.
Yeah.
And the thing is, they're really chucking the missiles out, aren't they? They want to get promoted, yeah. And it's a real statement of intentness.
Now, Basford are the team currently sitting in second, and I mean that was a huge result, wasn't it, last weekend against Gainsborough? But I think not surprising. There's going to be a fair few teams who get beat by Gainsborough this second half of the season.
I'm sure we'll come on to them later and the form that they're in. It's no disgrace at all to lose to
Because before that, Basford were winning for the laugh,
five wins in a row, I think it was, and they've put themselves very much in contention to win the title. I mean, I think we've always kind of said that they were pretty much nailed on for the top five, but how close they would get to South Shields, we weren't sure of. At the moment, they're keeping South Shields pretty honest, aren't they? You know, it's a genuine race for the title. There is doubt there, and Steve Chettle, you know, I don't think he kind of shied away from that. And nor should he, though, the investment they've made in that team and the way in which it's developed over the past 18 months to 2 years. They are here to get promoted. They are here to challenge for the title. So, yeah, I think it was a blip. I think at the moment, Gainsborough are one of the teams you don't want to play. So to lose narrowly to them is a very minor hiccup. I would expect them to get back to winning ways pretty quickly.
I think it's a little bit strange to say this, maybe, but...
Say it anyway, Becky.
All right, we'll do.
He's going to say it.
Even though they're in second place and they're only 2 points behind South Shields, Baseford are sort of sneaking under the radar a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, no one's talking about them. And we said it loads of times down the years, haven't we? Oh, they'll love that. No one's talking about them. They'll love that. We were saying that about Lancaster, really. And he says, oh, they'll love it. No one's going to be talking about it. Then we started talking about them. With Baseford, they're kind of doing an anti-South Shields, really. They're doing just enough in the games. They're winning by 1-0. 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 2-1. 5 clean sheets in the last 7 games. So that, for a team who, when they got promoted, it was largely down to their attacking prowess, from to all of a sudden really solidify at the back, and like a big, you know, just a big wall there, you're not going to pass. Absolutely fair play to Baseford. I think they're doing cracking, but they're showing as well that they're not going to give up. They were 2-0 down against Stalybridge at half time a couple of weeks ago, came back.
Great win.
Three goals in the second half, 3 goals in 10 minutes, in fact, to win that game. So they've got that.
Tenacity,
that's the word I was looking for.
Yeah, definitely. It's on.
It is.
Lancaster currently sitting in third.
Yeah.
5 points behind South Shields. Had a little blip.
They have, but that was an enormous result for them on Saturday. Not just because of who the opposition were, just because they needed a victory. It's a kind of a bonus that it was against Warrington. It'll be interesting to see now whether that is them turning a little bit of a corner, because they'd lost 4 of the previous 6 games before Warrington got up there, so they'd lost touch a little bit with South Shields. They are still right in the thick of a fight to finish in the top 5, and that's not changed. But I'm interested to see now whether that kickstarts them on a little run, or whether the direction of travel we'd seen before the weekend is where they're headed. I don't know yet.
I still think they're too inconsistent to challenge for the title.
Yes, I would agree with that.
I do.
Are they consistent enough to stay in the playoffs? Because, we're going to get to the playoff race shortly, but, you know, they're 5 points ahead of Warrington now.
Yeah.
And crucially, they're a lot further ahead of Witten Albion. So the options are, you know, for them dropping out, there's not that many options for teams who are going to overtake them.
Yeah. Ben, if they don't finish top 6, I don't want to say it'll be a disaster for them, but it'd be a real come down.
What if they finish 6th?
They'd be brilliant. They'll be good, though. I mean, they've been top 5 all season.
You've got to put it in
season,
a bigger context, haven't you? Wider context. Yeah, it would be a brilliant season. It represents huge progress still under Mark Feldman. You know, we've said it a couple of times. Remember where they were when he took over.
They've got a difficult month coming up, mind you. What, they're at Radcliffe on Saturday, so that's 3 points, isn't it?
Cheers, Burkett.
Honestly, though, they've really favourable fixtures coming towards the end of the season. They've not really got anyone like South Shields to play again.
There's no easy games in this league,
no
James.
Easy games, but
Nantwich in a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
huge game.
At home.
Now, FC, there's a lot of teams who've had blips. There's more blips in this show this week, I feel, than your standard episode of Casualty, isn't there? But FC United have drawn the last 2 games, and that is considered a blip. Is it a blip?
No, because look at the manner.
Why does it feel like a blip?
Because you've been steamrolling the world 3 and 4 every week, but the circumstances of the 2 games, no one wants to go behind, but the fact that, you know, they found a way to nick a point at Buxton, remarkable resilience on Saturday to go behind 3 times and get something from the game. You know, you can't win every game.
No, but at the same time, they shouldn't have gone behind 3 times.
No,
if you're going to win this league, you can't be doing that.
But this is what you said last month. That ultimately might cost them.
Yeah.
The title.
This one. When I was saying last night, so after the...
Are you listening?
I was listening to the game. Goodness. Yeah, I was, actually, okay. Believe it or not.
Go on, then.
He said it after the game. Teams that are having the blips, the losing games where FC, they're not. They're getting the points
very
out
good
and
point,
they're
yeah.
the points, and every team's going to have a blip, some longer than others, let's be honest.
Yeah. Oh, and they're entertaining games as well.
Exactly.
I mean, the 2-2 with Buxton as well, when you were down to 10 men, Ben. You know, it's...
Not doing me, I'm impartial.
Well, yeah, of course, yeah. But the thing is, though, you've got the biggest goal threat in this division. I don't just mean Tunde either. You're scoring goals throughout the team as well. But you're conceding more goals than anyone else in the top seven. And
well, it's
I
fun.
Don't understand. I know it's fun.
It's great fun. It's amazing fun.
Fun. Football should be fun. You don't want to be in the National League North just getting battered every week. Fun.
you're the Kevin Keegan's Newcastle.
How dare you, but okay.
I think we should probably... we touched on it off air, didn't we, that Neil Reynolds has agreed an extension to his contract to stay at
he has,
FC United.
Yes, two years extension.
I just wanted to make a point on that. We're seeing more now, aren't we, clubs investing managers by tying them to contracts. Now, pretty unheard of for people managers in the Northern Premier League to get a contract. Mm. I think you could probably go through most of the top 9 or 10 teams in the league now and they're tying their management teams.
Well, there's a lot to be said, isn't it, that managers stay a lot longer than players do. So
they should do.
Yeah.
I'm not knocking it. I just think it's an interesting change that clubs are sort of recognising, whether they think the managerial talent pool is shallower so they need to keep all of who they've got, I don't know, or whether they just think, hang on, we need to be a little bit more shrewd here and protect an asset that is the manager. And we talked about tonight about players who follow managers round, so it can be pretty kind of, you know, there can be that to and fro. So kind of keeping somebody in place, you know, all the cliches about it being a statement of intent and all that. But I just think it's interesting we're seeing more clubs do that now, and whether that pattern will continue, I don't know. You know, Steve Chettle got a 5-year contract. That's an extreme, but it's still a club going, yeah, we think you're the guy to take us forward.
More and more clubs have got the projects going where it's down to the managers to do what they're doing, and you see it a lot more often.
Just before we move away from SC United, one thing I do have to highlight is, you know, you go away to Barrow one weekend,
I was going to come on to the next weekend. Beating 2-1.
I have to tell you, both those aways, I went to those aways. I'm still tired from those. I didn't even play. I didn't even commentate either. But it's like you're physically tired doing those. And mentally, it comes back to haunt you a couple of weeks later.
Yeah, so. I think there's a serious point you made there, and we'll all have the stories. You know, Witten went from South Shields on the Saturday, they played Basford on the Monday. There's been some grumbles and, like, you know, was that really necessary? I think we have to acknowledge the sacrifice that players and management teams, and obviously supporters, if you can get...
And commentators.
It's an enormous ask for guys to take time off work and all of the logistics and then produce two performances, if that makes sense. I mean, in a way, kind of, I'm sure Basford were kind of rubbing their hands playing Witten after coming off the back of beating South Shields away, and Basford got the win. So, was that really a surprise? Not, and yeah, I don't know. James might give us more insight on what the thinking is there behind the fixtures, and every club will have a sub story. I totally accept that.
Yeah, James, why are you sending us to all four corners of the North?
That's where you all play.
Well, it weren't Teagot's fault that you got sent to Barra.
No,
that's true.
Again, you've got to play your games at some point.
It's I get that.
Last team who complete the playoffs at the moment is Nantwich Town. They've leapfrogged over Warrington Town. Is it that top six now, do you think?
Well, can I just show you this? I know this doesn't work particularly well on the radio.
No, Birkin.
But I've got me notes. I do prepare for this occasionally. And you'll see 5, Nantwich, 6, Warrington. And what's that say there, Simo?
It says, and I'm quite offended, playoffs closed, and it says it in uppercase. So it's just to kind of say, it says, the rest, underlined, and with an arrow.
Pointing downwards.
Do I call this show this month playoffs closed?
it's a strong contender, isn't it?
It is.
It's a strong contender.
I mean, Nantwich Town have put themselves in a good position here, haven't they, Birkin?
Ben, Nantwich, they're playing with confidence at the front, they're playing with confidence at the back, they're playing with confidence in midfield. Look at Dave Webb, how well he's done recently. It's been 2 goals at the weekend, of course. He's been absolutely fantastic.
Just sign Prince Haywood as well. You will do a fantastic job.
That's a great
sign. It'll be a decent addition, won't it? Yeah.
James, how good is that signing for Nantwich of Prince Haywood?
Absolutely fantastic signing for him. Same with Staley Bridge with Scott Metcalf. And pretty much half the league, you've got half Radcliffe players now anyway. So
I think, you know...
Sinclair's gone to Basford, hasn't he?
Yeah, exactly. Looking at the last couple of weeks, Nantwich have seemed to miss him those few injuries or just... who he's been playing against, but he can hold up the midfield up for him a little bit and play the ball forward. Player, we were saying before about Team of the Year, he could easily fit into it at this moment in time.
He's improved so much over the last few seasons.
Last two seasons, he's come on leaps and bounds. Easily one of Ratcliffe's best. But he was one of Ratcliffe's best players. But
Norwich, they're kind of doing the opposite of what they've done for the last couple of years, really, where they've fallen away at the end.
Yeah.
And they seem to have started the running earlier. They've started to power on from Christmas.
Well, because they used to be like that, but as Dave Cook rightly corrected me when I spoke to him a couple of weeks ago, last year they were in the playoffs all season long, pretty much.
Yeah, but they were front runners
and they kind of fell over the line, didn't they? I wonder if, you know, Hayward's probably a good example of this, is that he's thought about that. They did fade. Yeah. Haywood adds depth. Well, I think he'll become a starter, to be fair, but he adds depth to what's already a pretty deep squad this year. They've definitely addressed that over the summer. And can I just say, I loved Dave's interview because he didn't mess around. He said, if we don't finish in the top five this season, we've failed. And I love that. We have a lot of managers who come on and are like, oh, well, you know. And he's just like, no, we've set our stall out. This is what we want to achieve. And
it's his own personal target. He clarified it.
Yes, he did, actually. That's a good point. That's a good point.
The squad that they've got, I absolutely agree with him.
Yeah, he's right.
They also scored the fastest goal this season as well against Hyde. 9 seconds, Ethan Vary, and on loan from Stoke. I couldn't believe it. I just looked up. All the whistle's gone. Da, 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 da. Oh, it's 1-0. I'd say what, though, they've got a horrible month. Absolute horrible. They've got to play the top three. They go to South Shields.
Yeah.
Then they go to, they got Basin at home. Then they go to Lancaster. Oh,
they've got FC soon as well.
And then Mickle over on top of that as well. So, really, really key month.
If they get through that with at least 9 points, it really are going to be quite.
They're nailed on for the players if they come through with that with some points.
We have to discuss Warrington. It's just the lack of wins, isn't it? I mean,
it's very strange, isn't it?
What's going on?
Well, 10 draws, is it 10 draws? Yeah, that tells you the story. They've only won 2 of the past 10 games,
but they've only lost 5 all season.
Yeah, it's glass half full, glass half empty time, isn't it? Where do you kind of sit with that? And obviously, the seismic blow of losing Ben Garrity, who, you know, fair play to him, getting earned quite rightfully his move to the Football League, been outstanding for Yellows in the past 18 months
considering he was in Sunday League.
Yeah, brilliant story, and good luck to him. And I know they wish him all the well, wish him well with that. They've banked a few quid as well, which will be interesting to see if they reinvest that in the team. And they've also lost Jack Dunn, who's gone on loan to Southport, who knows been a little bit in and out this season with injuries. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how they respond to that. Very much that, again, like Nantwich set the stall out to at the very least make the playoffs again. But they've only kept 4 clean sheets this season, which is an absolutely remarkable stat when you consider how strong they were defensively last season. It's not been the same story at all this year.
A Norway win since October.
Yeah, yeah, it's very strange.
If you go back to the New Year's Day game against Bamber Bridge, that's your classic, isn't it? I mean, you know, they've scored the winner. Tony Gray scored the winner. And then Richie Allen scores right in deep added time to equalise. And it's that kind of...
They just seem to have lost that killer instinct that they've had in the previous two seasons. They're still there and thereabouts, but they need to be careful because who are you going to bet on to fall out of the top five for them to get back in?
I think Lancaster are the target.
Right. Yeah.
I do.
It's mimicking FC United a little bit at the same time too. They're not getting beaten. They're picking up late draws or late winners. I mean, the one against...
It's a lot less convincing than FC United.
It is a little bit, but again... the teams that they played out the best, but they've still got opportunity with their fixture list as well. They've got to play majority of the top six. If they get the wins out of that, again,
one of those last minute goals, it was against Stafford to claim a draw. Another one was to get a very late last gasp win against Whitby. Whitby, a very good side this season, mind you, and if you're going to win 2 out of 10, one of them might as well be against Whitby because it's a very good result. But they've really got to pull the socks up. They've got to, otherwise they're going to miss out.
We have got a lot of twists and turns still left to come, but Witton Albion to be in 7th at this stage, Simo, given our chat that we were having last month.
Well, you're saying about Blitz, Witton Albion.
I can't believe that I'm discussing this and I'm about to ask you the question. Can Witton get themselves involved in the playoff
throw-in? I think it's a stretch, and that's not being pessimistic. I think the gap's there already.
6 points.
But you're right, they had that run of losing 5 out of 6 games, and you're thinking, where's what the season was in real danger of unravelling. They were down to 14th at one point. But to come back and it was actually beating Abbott and Collieries at home that kind of stopped the rot, and it's given them a real lift. You know, they won at South Shields, they did miss out at Basford, and we just touched on that with the travel, and then they picked up some more points again at the weekend. It's not impossible. They've got obviously much less margin for error. The reason that I think that they will ultimately fall short is the same old story. They don't score enough goals, and that ultimately I think will cost them. But you're right, for them to be seventh at this stage is remarkable.
36 scored, 36 conceded.
Who'd have guessed that Witten would have a zero goal difference? Amazing, isn't it? Perfect equilibrium.
I've seen them score three goals this season, Burke.
Have you?
Yeah, in very, very annoying circumstances.
Fair play to you.
Yeah, thank you.
I can't believe it. But, well, you know what? Similarly with South Shields, actually, where we'd fully expect them to pick up a lot more clean sheets. Witten Albion, they've not had a clean sheet in 11 games since they drew 0-0 with Hyde.
Yeah.
Bizarre, absolutely bizarre for a team who pride themselves on being absolutely solid at the back, and if a goal comes, a goal comes, it's fine. They just don't want to concede. That's really unusual, that,
yeah,
to find themselves in 7th place. That's after Cal McCarley.
Playoffs closed, you said.
Yeah.
Is it? Because 6 points, the gap between Witten Albion and the playoffs. Nantwich do have 3 games in hand.
That's it.
Yeah. Stalybridge Celtic have played 4 games more than Nantwich. They too are on 38 points.
They're going backwards though.
Yeah,
big
time. It feels
to
me that they've thrown in the towel for this season. They're going to regroup again next season.
And losing Osei, finishes it.
Which, to be honest, they're ahead of target already, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean,
Simon
Howard's made that perfectly clear a few times we spoke to him.
They've
so.
Got a really talented squad there. There's a couple of pieces missing in the jigsaw, but you look at the form. And they haven't won yet in 2020. 7 games in the league, 1 in the cup as well, against Vauxhall Motors in the Cheshire Cup. It's just very unusual for the form they were in the latter half of 2019.
Yeah. The other point with Sabres, and Berkey did raise this last month, to be fair, is the absolutely wretched home record.
Yeah.
They've got the highest number of defeats of any team at home in the league, which makes it even more remarkable that they've been where they are for as long as they have. They have been very good away from home this season for balance, but you can't lose, well, at the moment it's 8 home league games and have any chance at all of getting in the playoffs.
We mentioned Stalybridge Celtic, perhaps, you know, they might be consolidating.
One thing we should say about Bridge, though, is they've got on paper a very kind fixture list this month. They've got to play, Grantham.
I feel like this might be Witten's December show, because Stalybridge might come back into it again.
Yeah.
You would be surprised, would you?
I reckon. I would.
As Ronan Keating said,
I would
life
now.
Is a roller coaster, isn't
I would
it?
Now with their lack of firepower.
What about Scarborough? Scarborough have got themselves on par with Witten Albion and with Stalybridge Celtic, and they're not too far off, and they've now played the same number of games as Stalybridge Celtic and almost as Witten. They're not too far off, are they?
No, they're not, and Daz deserves enormous credit for the job that he's done so far. They've picked up 20 points since he replaced John Deasy, which is brilliant. But he was hired to stop them getting relegated. You know,
has he succeeded?
I think he's safely done that way ahead of schedule, which in a way makes him dangerous, because I think the pressure's off. I don't think they can be expected to make the playoffs. So if they can, you know, get on a roll and. You know, they finished top 8, they finished top 7. That's remarkable from where they were, because they were an absolute shambles before they made the managerial change.
I mean, he's managed to get the firepower back behind him, because they're scoring goals again now quite soon. The only thing is,
-8 though, goal difference.
But compared to what it was when they beat 3-4, 5-0 every week.
Oh, yeah. Well, they went from a team who lost heart after 5 minutes, if they conceded a foul, basically, to a team who believe in Darren Kelly, a team who believe in their teammates.
Three confident strikers
again
as well, because, again, Watson's joining Coulson and Walsh at this moment in time too, and every match.
And it's the Darren Kelly derby on Saturday as well.
There are.
Back to Ewan Fields for the first time.
Last week, and They still talk, don't they, and stuff that. So, yeah, there we go. Anyway.
They're doing great.
More on the fixture preview later in the show. Let's carry on, because we might as well. I mean, Michelover Sports are in 10th, but they're 1 point behind Scarborough, Stalybridge and Witten, and they've played only 25 games. So
steady on. Right. Ben.
I've seen Michelover Sports. I was very, very, very impressed. They play very good football. And they've got some very good players. I've said it.
I've written in my notes they can beat anyone, but then I put they can lose to anyone. But then I scribbled it out, because that was the Michelob from earlier in the season. I don't think they can lose to anyone now.
I think they still are losing a couple of games. Well,
only South Shields have beaten them in 2020.
They won that 5-2. They tonked Grantham 4-1
and
every week.
Even though they lost to South Shields by 5-2, they were 2-2 after 70 minutes.
Yeah,
it was a late flurry, yeah.
Exactly. No, I think Michelob, it feels like they're a team on the up. Maybe they're a club on the up as well. It remains to be seen whether this season is a bit of a blip, because they've been down the bottom half. A positive blip, I suppose. But they've been down the bottom half the last few seasons and flirting with the relegation zone. But this season, they've been a breath of fresh air. They really have. And more power to their elbow and all that. And at the minute, you're getting your value for money. The last five games, it's been 24 goals. It's near enough five goals a game now.
Augustine is the one who was very, very impressive, I thought.
I enjoyed Project 42, by the way, when John was on the show last.
I used to go there on Monday nights. 50p for a bottle of sausage.
42nd Street, it was called. Still there. Anyway.
And already they've won more games this season than they did last.
So Michelob in 10th, Hyde United in 11th.
Remember that?
Also on 37 points, but they've played 29 games.
Ben, I've got to tell you, a few weeks back, I was worried. I was really, really worried. I felt like T got feels now. I didn't know where the next point was coming from. We were getting, we were getting tonked from pillar to post every week. It was absolutely dreadful. The nadir of that was the 4-0 defeat that we had at Nantwich, one where we went a goal down after 9 seconds and it got worse from there on in. However, we found our shooting boots again. A little bit of confidence came back. Funnily enough, it came in a Cheshire Cup game against Winsford. We really needed to beat Winsford on a horrible Monday night. And we did. We came through it with flying colours. Went on to beat Grantham 3-0 the following week. And it's looking positive. We've got this young lad in on loan from Sheffield United. You'll remember Big Cam Suk, the mighty Big Cam Suk. Well, this kid, Iliman Njai's called, he's like Big, but a little bit faster, a little bit more direct, he's dynamic. Huge game tomorrow against Scarborough. Marpeth's going to be difficult. Marpeth beat Hyde in the cup earlier in the season. Away at Ashton, slightly resurgent Ashton as well. They went four games unbeaten recently, and home against Lancaster, who Hyde got a 2-2 draw against the last kick of the game earlier in the season. I think it's looking like an interesting month. This Hyde aren't going to get relegated, like I was a little bit worried about. We've got 8 points to get. Oh, if it's 42 points, we've only got to get 5 more points. So yeah, we're sorted. Roll on next season.
It's top half. It's a good season, isn't it?
I'm happy wherever we finish.
Well,
as long as it's not the bottom two.
Speaking of the top half, that was part one, concentrating on the top half. Coming up after this little jingle, we'll be back with part two, focusing on the lower half. And later in the show, don't forget to stick around, because we'll also have a fixture preview for some of these big matches this weekend. Welcome back to the Heat and Hops here in South Manchester, North Stockport for January's edition.
Whoa.
Hello?
It's not South Manchester, it is Stockport.
Welcome back to the Heat and Hops here in Greater Manchester, the home of great beer, and this month, the home of January's edition of the NPL show. Round the table, Simo's here, Berkey's here, Teagotty's here, and let's talk about the lower half of the table. And
hello,
James. Now, it's a transitional season now, isn't it?
It isn't, I mean...
Or is it?
I've said at the start of the season, 19th is the target. You all laughed at me at the start of the season.
I mean, obviously, we've lost a lot of players.
You've lost a lot of your best players as well. That's the key thing. I mean, not just Tyrese Sinclair, but also Prince Haywood, who mentioned
Scott
earlier.
Metcalf, Ben Wharton. Although Ben wasn't... The last letter two weren't realistically getting games at this moment anyway, but getting out of the team, but still.
More than any of it, you've lost John Macken, who's been a revelation at the club.
You're in a weird spot as well, because you've... What's that? You're 14 points from the playoffs, you're 11 points from the relegation zone. You're going to get two more wins, aren't you, to finish off John McGrath's Project 42. So,
or Check 42.
Do you really think you'll get them?
Six to 8 points, I think we're fine.
I think Connor Hughes is a very good signing for if you can get him fit, because he's been carrying a knock all season, and if you got him at full steam, you're laughing.
Yeah. And again, same time, the club's got to get the discipline in order, because again, Callum Dolan sending off Matt Law was a little bit hang on. Again, hang on what's happening here. So he's going to be out for 3 games now. They've got to go find another set of backs.
There's one huge game for you this month, so you got Grantham at home.
Yeah, I agree with you there, 100%.
You can write the rest off. I'm not saying you can write the rest off. You are going to lose them or anything like that. I'm saying the rest of them almost don't matter. You've got to beat Grantham.
I think we've got Stafford Rangers again to come as well, so we've got to beat both of them, really.
Morpeth and Whitby, I might as well put them together. 22 games played. They've started to claw those games back now. I mean, comparatively, though, they've got 7 games in hand over Scarborough and Stalybridge Celtic just up the road.
But the thing is, they've got to play 20 league games in 2.5 months, which is ridiculous.
And they're in the League Cup as well still.
Are they really?
And Northumberland Senior Cup as well.
And the Northamptonshire Senior Cup too. They've got to play Round Town.
Yeah. But yeah, we've got effectively 22 games. And again, the next round for Morpeth this coming week is South Shields.
And well, they're going to play the Resis, aren't they?
But that's what I mean. If both sides put the Resis, so potentially one of them's going to go through. One of them's got to go through. But But Morpeth, again, I went up there last Saturday, I think, on a good 3.5 hour train ride. They've got the plans in place there. Yeah. Round, nice, friendly club. The team they're getting in are suited to this division now a little bit. They've had issues with the ground early in the season, but no, great setup.
One thing to say about Whitby is they've been in absolutely every game. They're such a difficult team to beat, aren't they? They've only lost by more than one goal twice all season, and that was right at the beginning of the campaign as well.
It's a better season than last year, isn't it?
There are loads better sides.
Maybe not table-wise, but results and performance-wise, a lot better.
Table-wise, they're ahead of where they should be, they were.
Really hard to beat.
I actually think they're a lot better than that, and hopefully their final position will reflect it.
Gainsborough.
What a turnaround.
FC United won team of the month for January?
No, December. Basford won it for January.
Gainsborough, surely. I mean, this is... What a turnaround.
Do you know how many points Gainsborough had when Curtis walked through the door?
5.
Not a bad guess. They had 9 points and they were second bottom in the league.
Picked up 17 points in...
Brilliant.
In 2 months. Basically,
it's sensational, isn't it?
It's absolutely sensational, and the reason
he has chopped and changed a lot, and you know he's
but he deserves enormous credit for that because
he's done it on the bounce, hasn't he?
Yeah, exactly, and that to be ruthless because some big names have left there. By the way,
Ross Hannah's gone to Cleethorpes.
Yeah, established names. Worsfold left, didn't he? Joe Maguire's left. You know, these people were stalwarts of the previous incarnation of Gainsborough, and he's had the courage to make difficult decisions, but it's been justified because they've continued to steamroller up the table.
You'd expect a boxer to have some courage, though, wouldn't you?
Absolutely, but his courage and good judgment, because they're proving to be the right decision. I think it's sensational, absolutely sensational what they've done, and they're now, I would say, there's no chance now of them getting relegated. I think they're clear of that. And now, it'd be quite fun to see where he can take it, because they're under no pressure and they just go along taking points off people.
Here's something for you, Birker.
Go on.
Current form and all that. 10 points from the player positions.
Oh, cool.
I'm saying it.
You can say it all you like, but I don't think it's going to happen. But I'll tell you what.
How would it not happen? You're assuming the wheels are going to come off this good run of form and they'll
stumble?
Yeah,
because the top five are going to carry on winning.
And they will revert
to
the mean.
Well, no, as we've discussed on the show, they're not, though, are they, the top five or the top six? They're stumbling a bit.
A little bit, but they'll pick up as well. They'll revert to the mean, and order will be restored in the universe.
What a story, though, eh?
It'd be a brilliant story, but, Ben, I never, ever say this, and I'm going to have a bath after saying this.
I know what you're going to say.
After Curtis took over, and we did a show here the following week, Swampy said... Mark my words. Gainsborough, they won't get relegated. In fact, they'll finish closer to the playoffs. In fact, they'll probably be in the playoffs and get promoted. Oh, and things like that.
Sensational.
Oh, tenacity.
Tremendous.
Words to that effect. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely agree with him now. Yeah. He's turned them round like you wouldn't believe. It's been brilliant. And here's the thing, though.
You know, that's Curtis Ward, I'll say. What a job he's done. He's got Gainsborough to 15th. He's got Berkey and Swampy singing from the same hymn.
That's a bigger story.
But, you know, like we go on about players, they put themselves in the shop window for next season. Oh, look, he's going to go up to the next division, da-da-da-da. Well, what Curtis Woodhouse is doing at the moment, he's putting Gainsborough in the shop window for next season. Players will be able to see the turnaround in form, they'll be able to see the attitude of the place, and that everyone there is going in the same direction, and players will want to go to Gainsborough. They won't have to fork out huge sums of money to get them. People just want to go there naturally anyhow.
Yeah, you've literally just said what I was going to say there. So,
word for
when it got, I think I put it out on Thursday, watch the goal they scored against Basford in the 1-0 win there. It was a complete team goal, literally on the counter attack, 5-6 passes, wild straight in. Against Staley Bridge, second half, they came out as a unit, and it looked, you thought this could be a 5-6-0 game if they started a game like that. Curtis Woodhouse has turned that into a proper team, and again, well, when I say a team, they're gelling together, they're not showing, they're looking like a proper unit, if that makes sense.
It's
starting to show in the results a bit too.
I'm pleased to him on a personal level. This is the biggest club he's probably had a shot at being manager, so I'm not saying in any way games have taken a gamble, but it's quite nice that it's not the same old tired names.
While we're talking about managers who've played a blinder, Jamie Milligan at Bamber Bridge.
Oh. Incredible job. Absolutely brilliant. But I'm not that surprised. Everything that he's done in football, it's been done well thought out, it's been very deliberate, and how he's come around with Bamber Bridge to just spin him 180 degrees and point them in the right direction at the table. It's been a superb job getting Rich Allen, as we touched on last month. Just a brilliant, brilliant piece of business that, and they're almost safe. They're not 100% safe just yet, because under normal circumstances, they'd be safe. All right, there's only two going down, They have to finish above somebody. All right, Stafford down at a minute, Grantham at the minute down there. There's no real signs at the minute from Grantham. Stafford, all right, they've got a little bit of momentum behind them, but there's a team that they're going to have their eyes set on, and that's Radcliffe. Because if they can finish above Radcliffe...
Radcliffe, I reckon the two points
behind Radcliffe.
That's the thing. That's what I'm talking about. They're just a couple of points behind them, and if they can finish above Radcliffe, they'll be safe.
That's a successful season.
Let me... say this to you. Bamber Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
10 points from the playoffs.
Actually, when you did put that to Jamie, he didn't shut you down, did he?
No, he didn't.
I thought that was quite interesting. He didn't normally they'd kind of go out of wire, but
these managers, right, they have a points per game average. They look at upcoming games and they go, realistically, what can we get? And he's quite telling that he didn't shut you down.
No. Look, they're upwardly mobile. They're another club that were in serious trouble before they made the change, and it just deserves all the credit in the world. I agree with Berkey. I think they've still got a little bit of work to do, and I hope they finish the job, because it would be another great story in the Premier Division this season. So I'm rooting for them to finish the job, but it's not quite done yet.
Now there's a bit of a gap then opened up between Bamber Bridge and Matlock Town. That gap is 6 points. Matlock Town do have 5 games in hand though over Bamber Bridge. So the bottom six, is it the bottom six now? There's Bamber Bridge and Gainsborough done enough to claw themselves away from this. And
exactly, I'd say if you get fall back out of form,
well, look at Marine last season.
Yeah.
Well, no. For them,
we declared Marine officially safe around about
now
February. Yes. Oh, it's February. Yeah. Oh, crikey. We did. We declared them officially safe, and then they went
the last 15 minutes of the season. They were down.
Yeah, exactly.
The big win on Tuesday night for Matlock, wasn't it?
It was, because we're not quite sure yet what we're going to see from a Paul Phillips Matlock. Other than they've picked up points in both games that he's been in charge, because they drew on Saturday
The difficult thing is as well, obviously the situation, with the tragic situation with Jordan Sinnott.
Yeah,
it's difficult for, on a minor footballing issue in comparison. It's difficult to assess what how it's going to change.
Right, I can't imagine what it's like for them. I can't imagine what it's like for them at the moment, and that's what makes it just impossible to predict what we're going to see in the next few weeks.
I was going to say, again, from last season, Ratcliffe were in a similar sort of situation, losing the cameraman in a crash.
Yeah.
Matlock have now got something to play for this season.
Is that how you channel it, do you think?
Yeah. That's the only way you can really channel it, is you've got a purpose now to go out and perform week in, week out.
You're absolutely right, Teagot. On Saturday, the determination. I mean, I wasn't there, but I've spoken to Luke and George, a couple of us who were at the Hyde game with them, and they just said they were absolutely went for it from start to finish. They couldn't tire. They couldn't. They had to run every last second of that game, and they did. How they didn't win, I don't know. Well, I do know, because they kept it in the bar and the post, and Hyde's goal was just charmed that day. It was, that's all it was. But blimey, it's just a rotten situation.
Just quick mention as well, I know we're doing all the towards the end of the show, there's a charity game taking place at Campion on the 16th of February, 12 o'clock kickoff, in memory of Jordan Sinnott as well. I think it's like Soapstar Superscar and sent to local police in aid of him. Shirts are still coming in, just keep all the information on the social media pages of how to get involved with everything like that.
Okie dokie. Now, with Matlock moving up to 17th, 3 points from the relegation spots now, beneath them, near neighbours Buxton.
There's an irony here, isn't there?
Well, Buxton have had... The form's been okay.
Well, they've tailed slightly. I mean, this time last month, they'd just been to Winsham Park and completely ran rings around Witten and were probably annoyed the only one 2-0, and led me to say on air, they've got absolutely no chance now of being relegated. Gary Hayward's properly turned it around. They'll score too many goals to worry anyway. And they've only won once since that afternoon. I don't know what you made them the other week. I mean, they'll be cursing that they didn't hold on to get the 2-1 when FC went there. They haven't kicked on from that afternoon at Winsham Park. And I don't know if that's necessarily, at this moment in time, cause for concern, but they had a big six-pointer last night, didn't they, on the Tuesday night, and were held by Stafford.
I mean, we're going to cover Stafford in a second. The game that they needed to win, Grantham, they did, and they picked up a home draw against FC United,
which might be a one game.
Exactly. So I mean,
I don't know. I seen them. I still back them to stay up. I think they've got loads of talent, and I think they'll just. We see it time and again. You know, we look at, are you going to score enough goals to stay up? Is what I look at in these situations, and the answer with Buxton is yes.
Yeah. I say, as long as the old DJ can stay fit, that mid-table lot have to be worried a little bit at this moment in time. So not just the mid-table, the ones, the bottom six, bottom seven.
Well, there's only one team in the bottom half who scored more goals than them, and that's Bamber Bridge.
Yeah. So there you go.
And then there's Atherton Coles. Atherton Coles, 25 points. Might as well see these three together, because they're all on 25 points, aren't they? Atherton Coles on 25 points. Ashton United on 25 points. Grantham Town, 25 points.
Grantham are on 25 points, but they may as well be on 24 because they've got a goal difference of minus 30. The other two, and it's played, round about minus 10.
Grantham have played three games more than Atherton and two games more than Ashton.
Exactly.
It's a bit perilous, isn't it?
They're in dire straits at the minute. And I don't mean with Mark Knopfler. I mean like the actual really bad.
Come back to Grantham Town in a second or two, but Ashton United, it's kind of, barring the Scarborough result, it's kind of clicked, hasn't it? All of a sudden with Cleggy there.
I think we've just seen Everton Colliery's part two at this moment in time. They're playing, again, it's the same manager, but they're both playing very similar football at this moment in time too. Playing the same sort of tactics. Going forward, look the same.
Well, they've
gone to. That's what I mean. Even with Everton now, it's the same sort of capability, even though half the players have gone to Ashton.
Yeah, but Cookie's the manager there at Coles now, and he's very much in Michael Clegg's mould. Yeah. So, yeah, they're going to play that, and they're going to play to their strengths, and they're going to, well, particularly play to the pitch as well. Yeah. And, yeah, of course they're going to. I think both of them are going to be absolutely fine.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shame the game was off on Tuesday night between them, because that would have been interesting to see. Two similar sides, really.
I actually think the danger at the bottom is Stafford.
Damn, this
the
is,
team who's going to get out of it.
We had Andrew Fern on last week, and we got them on because they picked up a win. And
a good win, by the way, against an informed Scarborough.
And
after drawing up went into
the interview was quite illuminating, really, because he's highlighted the fact they've had a lot of injuries. Those players are coming back, and then you watch us at that point, and then you know they've.
Well, listen, you have to have belief, otherwise, what's the point? But I think you're right. I think it's sincere, and I did see them firsthand on Saturday. They got a decent point at Wincham Park, and they were behind twice, by the way, and got back into the game. Talking of people coming back, they brought Tom Thorley on in the second half, who people who've watched this league over the years will know is a very, very good midfield player, a real talisman for Stafford, so he's on his way back into the team as well. What I saw was genuine fight, genuine stubbornness. They're going to be a difficult team to beat. That's borne out by the fact that they're drawing games at the moment. They're making themselves out of it. They're going to need to turn them into wins, and Andy Fearn said that. He said, we think we might need to win 10 matches to stay up, and you look at that and think, well, surely not.
The equivalent of 10 matches. I actually think it's going to be closer to 8.
And that might do it. And the other thing that he said, and we were talking about this before we started recording, is that their fixture list pits them against most of the teams they're trying to catch up. So that gives them a reason to be optimistic. I still think it's a tall order. And I was wondering, when I was driving here, kind of where would you rank it in the kind of great pantheon of escapes if they pull this off?
Oh, blimey.
It would be pretty remarkable.
It'll be up there.
It'll be up there, won't it?
Just a month ago, they were a long way clear at the bottom. A long way, but it's only 7 points now. I think it was 11 last month,
so
was
it's,
it?
It's heading in the right direction.
The only other team that's, even though they did eventually go down, the only other team that had really done anything like that was Sutton Coldfield.
Yeah.
The one season where it was one down, they were dead and buried for, like, I think we were talking 20 points at one point.
They kept it alive, didn't they?
Yeah, to the last day of the season.
We were just talking a minute ago about, you're looking at this stage, have they got enough goals to win those games? And that's still a question mark for me after the weekend. I think they're going to be really tough to break down. I think they're going to be difficult to beat. Whether they can score enough goals to get the equivalent of those points that you've just mentioned, for me, I don't know.
Well, it's incredible, isn't it? I mean, they conceded 22 goals fewer than Grantham immediately above them.
We spoke about Project 42 and all that. Just to put it on record, we think Mikulova are going to be okay.
Just about.
What is the total for those bottom two? Because honestly, obviously the third bottom one is up for grabs, considering we are ahead, aren't we, the other step three leagues?
Well, this one, I'm just checking that.
Okay, we'll come back to James and that. What is the points total?
I think 42's about right.
I think John McGrath's spot on, yeah. I do.
Well done, John. Thanks for playing at home.
Dave McGurk at Heidi's playing off 45 points.
Is he playing extra safe, do you think?
Yeah, I'd say so. That's the target he had at the start of the season. I was like 45, 46 points. That's what we're after. If we get it, brilliant.
Stafford, they had the potential, didn't they, to do a Skelmersdale United, but do you think there's going to be a team who gets cut adrift?
What do you mean, be top at the start and then...
No, just be totally cut adrift as we close in, because it's looking like that might not be the case.
I think you're right. I think, and you say this sometimes when you're doing the interviews, about you want to keep as many teams in the dogfight as you can, and I think genuinely this season we're probably going to see that. I think from Bamber Bridge down, they're all in it, and we've talked tonight about percentage chances for certain teams in that group are obviously much higher than others, but I think you'd be pretty brave to call it.
I was just going to say then, just checking the points per game, Ashton, who are in that position, I know the only team with more than 1 point a game.
Yeah,
right.
Team in the Southern Central, St Ives, I think it is, who are massively.
I think we all expect Ashton to continue to improve. Yeah. By the way,
that's the top and bottom of it. And a big thank you to all three of you for that illuminating two parts of the NPL show. But don't you be going anywhere, dear listener, because in part three we've got a very quick fixture preview for this weekend's big matches. Welcome back to the NPL show here at the Heat and Hops. Simo's here, Berkey's here, James Hayes is here, T-Got if you will. And just to say, the Step 4 show will be out also this week, where we'll be focusing on that promotion race at in the Northwest Division, Ramsbottom United.
Wait, what? Back on that one.
Yeah, and don't rule out the South East Division as well, because it's
a good playoff race. There.
A very good playoff race.
Never mind a playoff race. What about the mighty League Town? Hopefully,
coming back.
Finally coming up. Come on, League.
5 points clear up at the top.
They're doing very well with a game in hand too.
But it's to the Premier Division that this part three of the NPL show focuses on now. Game of the weekend. Game of the season thus far, I think we can all agree. Just in my house, maybe.
Eh? Hyde versus Scarborough.
Baseford versus FC.
I think it's a bigger game at Mariners Park.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, third best game of the weekend.
Okay.
Where was Ashton v Witten? Do an alphabetical order, eh?
No, all right. Let's do this in alphabetical order while I wait for my... South Shields v Nantwich. Yeah, that is pretty big. All right. All right.
Like I said, there's facts on this show.
Let's do it in alphabetical order. Aston United against Witton Albion. Ooh. Simo.
It's 0-0, isn't it?
Oh, come on, don't be so negative. 1-1.
No, but there's a chance here, isn't there, to close the gap? Nantwich, absolutely. Nantwich are playing at South Shields, FC are playing Baseford.
That's certainly how Witton will see it, but obviously this is a more difficult game than it was 6 weeks ago, because Aston are improving. So I think it'll be tight. I think it'll be close. Yeah, Witten will be looking up, but they'll want to pick up 3 points there.
Atherton calls against Morpeth Town, the next fixture we need to talk about for this weekend. Atherton calls can move themselves away from the relegation places if results go a certain way. So
this is an interesting one, this, you know, Ben. Atherton, they beat Morpeth earlier in the season. I can't remember if it was in the cup or the trophy.
Might be trophy.
Thank you very much. But at the same time, the pitch kind of suits Morpeth. Very similar surface to what they've got on the home turf. But Atherton calls, different proposition at home to what they are away. And I'm going for a narrow calls win.
I could say I'm reckoning it's going to be a draw. They need it.
They've lost three games in a row, calls. Yeah. They just need to just stop that little rot.
Bamber Bridge against Grantham Town. Bamber Bridge.
Home win.
10 points. From the playoffs.
I think
if Nantwich get beat and Bamber Bridge win, it's 7 points.
I think.
Call me Carol Vorderman, Simel. That is pure maths.
I think the more significant number is Grantham 0 away wins.
Yeah, and it's going to be that on Saturday as well. Bamber Bridge all day.
Baseford United against FC United of Manchester. Boom.
Didn't Baseford beat FC? At your place?
In the league, yes. But FC won in the trophy.
Of course, yeah.
With that massive header from 53 yards out.
Oh. All right. Baseford, they've been keeping a very tight ship, haven't they, in the last month or so. FC been scoring goals left, right and centre.
Now,
but Baseford,
well, again,
I've not seen the pitch at Baseford.
It's a bit like ours, but not as good. It's like Scarborough's.
FC United have had a couple of encounters on 3G pitches this season, obviously the Hyde United performance and the Buxton performance. So there is differences in 3G pitches.
Yeah, there are, but you play a good game on those. And FC free scoring at the moment, but I don't know.
He might as well be called Kieran Preston against Tunde Oluwabi that match, because Kieran's on a great keeper.
Tunde's not scored that many goals recently, you know.
That's he's only scored 30 in the last 20 years. No, that's what he's not. Now, this is a good game, you know.
Buxton. Yeah. Against Gainsborough Trinity.
Interesting game, this.
Gainsborough, 10 points from the playoff berth.
Are they?
If they win this, given the fact Nantwich are playing South Shields...
So that's a draw.
They could go 7 points outside the playoffs.
Now, you're ignoring Warrington on Sunday against Matlock there, because...
I'm not ignoring them.
In theory, yes, because Warrington are playing the following day. I like what you've done there.
I feel like you're baiting us to make an outrageous claim, and I'm not falling for it.
I am going to say Gainsborough win just.
Yeah, they're the last team you want to play at the moment.
Big score draw, I reckon.
Do you?
Like, talking to all three, potentially.
Okay. Fun and games at Ewan Fields, as always, Berkey, of course.
Hyde
United against Scarborough Athletic in the Darren Kelly Derby, as it's referred to in the press.
I think it's
Scarborough
win. What?
Scarborough
is this
win?
Because I've been nibbling at you all night?
Honestly, Scarborough win.
Have you heard yourself? It's going to be Scarborough win.
What I said about Gainsborough and Bamber Bridge,
Someone was joking it's going to be a hide win. Of course it's going to be a hide
win. It's an interesting one, this, isn't it? Because Scarborough just there, 6 points. A win for Scarborough and a defeat for Nantwich.
Now,
it could be 3 points.
Well, you know what, Ben? If you don't mind me saying, but Hyde, they're only 7 points outside the playoffs. And a win for Hyde would mean we're only 4 points outside the playoffs. Assuming, of course, Nantwich lose against South Shields, which I don't think they will.
More on that in a second.
Absolutely.
Michelover Sports against Whitby Town. Birke, let me tell you something about
Please
this.
Please do.
Michelover Sports, currently 7 points outside the playoffs.
Are they?
Right.
And then you know the rest at home, dear listener. But Michelover have put themselves in an interesting position here, haven't they? Because
they've put themselves 7 points outside the playoffs, haven't they?
Yeah, but no.
Well, if you think about it, if Whitby win their games in hand, which is 3 games in hand, hang on.
They're 10 points in the playoffs.
All right, so they'd be 3 points behind the playoffs.
One.
If they win them, what? No, if the 10. Yeah, you're right. They would actually be in the playoffs if they win this game on Saturday and their other games in hand.
No, they'd be 1 point outside the playoffs.
Yeah, but if they then win all the games in hand as well.
Good point.
Thank you.
I mean, this is. Joking aside. It is all to play for in this mid-table pack. It's not a done deal yet. So if you're the likes of Hyde United, Scarborough, Witten, Michelover Sports, you've still got...
No, I think that's a fair point. There's enough points left that teams have to believe that they can do it at this stage, definitely. Michelover are really difficult to beat since the turn of the year, so I expect that run to continue. But then Whitby... It's got to be 1-1, hasn't it?
Radcliffe against Lancaster City.
Ben, I've got 5 words for you.
Yeah.
1 point in 8 games.
To bring it full circle, we're just waiting to see if they build on that result against Warrington.
But at the same time, the Lancaster, when we played them at the Giant Axe, they were a better side completely.
Now, the next question I'm about to ask is to balance things out a bit. Because I've used Nantwich Town a lot in the last 5 or 10 minutes or so during this fixture preview. More for comedic value than anything, but also to make a point about how, you know, season can turn around for a lot of sides beneath them. But Nantwich Town are 9 points off top spot.
I want to show you that in a second.
They're travelling to South Shields and Nantwich are banging form.
Ooh,
I think this could be the game of the season so far. I know we said that about others, but two teams that are, and FC United are in this bracket as well, for me, the two best teams to watch in the league.
I agree.
That's what I mean.
Fully agree.
And it's got all the ingredients to be the game of the season. And I say, don't shout at me, FC United fans, to put all three on the level as being the best teams to watch. I just think it could be an absolute classic. I have no idea who's going to win. Nantwich have to believe that they can go up there and do the business. It wouldn't shock me in the slightest if they did. I lived near it, I'd be there.
And there'd be 6 points off top spot with a game in hand.
Let's not forget the other fact, though. If Nantwich win that game and Basford beat FC United, Basford are top. South Shields have a game in hand, but that's the thing. I know we've had a joke about it. First time in 3 months South Shields will be off the top of the table.
You know what Westwood would say?
Who's Westwood? Final game for Saturday then. Stafford Rangers against Stalybridge Celtic. Stalybridge Celtic currently sitting 6 points outside the playoffs.
And the former managers of Stalybridge Celtic, of course, are now managing Stafford Rangers. And I think Stalybridge Celtic, they'll go there and get turned over.
And that would make it a double because Stafford won at Bower Fold.
And what would that mean for the relegation race? Let me tell you what it would mean. Stafford Rangers, 7 points cut adrift at the moment.
It would mean they'd stretch this little unbeaten run that they're on and they'd have one of them precious wins that Meeks and Andy Fearn are after. But I think they're going to win Saturday.
More important than that, Simo, they'd only be 23 points off the playoffs.
It's important to make
well done. Right, well played. Right, so that's... and of course there's a game on Sunday as well. Warrington will be hosting Matlock Town.
I think Matlock will get some out of it.
Wow.
I don't see... It's one of those games, it's even whichever way you look at it.
I mean, there's a big opportunity here for Warrington Town to... to tie with FC United potentially. I mean, they're going to know the results from Saturday, obviously.
Yeah.
So there is an opportunity here to claw it back and get tied.
You have to back a draw, though, don't you?
I think you do, but the form Warrington are in, you don't expect them to win. And they were rampant last night, Matlock against Radcliffe. And clearly they've got the bit between the teeth.
Again,
the
no, I think it's down to what mentality Matlock turn up with now.
Their mentality's spot, trust me on that. It is.
And that is the end of January's edition of the NPL show for the year 2020. So a big thank you to Berkey for joining us from Fletcher. Now, where are you off to this weekend?
I'm off to Ewan Fields for the Darren Kelly derby, aren't I? It's Hyde versus Scarborough Athletic.
Thank you to Berkey. Simmer, where are you off to this weekend?
It looks like Hurst Cross.
Oh, excellent stuff, isn't it? And James, where are you off to this weekend?
Starting to plan the annual awards that we're doing.
Is it that time?
Oh. Close to that time.
The stress. a big thank you to James, a big thank you to Simo, a big thank you to Berkey, and a big thank you to Ian Hobbs, and a big thank you to you, dear listener, for joining us. But that is January's edition of the NPL show, and we'll see you all very soon. Bye-bye.